and welcome to the Swiss Info programme, which this week considers the unthinkable. Life after Roger Federer. That was Federer beating France's Richard Gasquet to finally clinch the Davis Cup, tennis's prestigious international team competition, for Switzerland in 2014. He and Stan Wawrinka have also won Olympic gold in doubles. Not bad for a country of just over 8 million people. The future, however, isn't looking so bright. Federer and Wawrinka are both in their 30s, and both have pulled out of the Rio Olympic Games injured. And there's also no young Swiss male player in the top 500. Young, in this case, meaning 21 or under. In comparison, similarly sized or smaller countries, such as Serbia, Belgium and the Czech Republic, all have at least three young players in the top 500.
It's hard in every generation to have a new Roger Federer.
What, if anything, is Switzerland doing wrong? Swiss Info's Thomas Stevens asks the Director of Team Performance at Swiss Tennis, the national tennis organisation, about the challenges of developing world-class tennis players. He also talks to the highest-ranked young Swiss male player and his coach and finds out about the tough life of an aspiring tennis pro.
Roger Federer is what German speakers call a Jahrhundertsportler, an athlete that comes along once a century. And don't forget the overshadowed and underappreciated Stan Wawrinka. But how did little Switzerland produce two huge tennis stars? Is it the country's sporting infrastructure? Does Switzerland's high standard of living and affluence play a role? Is it just luck? In this programme, I focus on the men. The situation for Swiss women isn't so bleak, with 19-year-old Belinda Bencic, a former winner of Junior Wimbledon and the Junior French Open, and Rebecca Mazurova, the 17-year-old reigning Junior French Open champion. Alessandro Greco, director of team performance at Swiss Tennis, doesn't think there's one reason in particular for the lack of young male players in the rankings. He sees a nation's ups and downs as cyclical.
If we take Sweden as an example, they had the really big players like Björn Borg, Mats Wilander, Jonas Svensson and all these guys, and then now for decades they didn't have really good players. We do not something wrong, but we are working hard, very hard. It is for male, especially for male players, very, very difficult to go into the top 100. Like, the average age is 27, 28. So it's a really long way to go. Our players, they are young. They are between 17 and 19 years old. So I guess they need a few more years to be in the top 100. It's very tough for us. Everybody is spending a lot of money in competition. So we have to just to be cool and work hard and believe in our young guys.
Well, where does the money go? What is Swiss tennis doing to find and develop these young players?
We do a lot. For the under 14 players, we are trying to put them into partner academies, like little national centers. Then we have individual projects going all over Switzerland. We have the national center where the best practice. We have, as I said, a lot of individual projects that we support financially or with know-how. We are trying to be very flexible.
What are the biggest challenges to convincing promising young players to consider a career as a professional sportsman or sportswoman? Because it is a big decision for a young person and their families.
Especially in Switzerland, it's very tough because school is very important, and for them it's difficult to convince them to go this long way. It's a very long way, and it's a very expensive way, an expensive way for the federation and for the parents. So like basic tennis in the clubs is not expensive at all, but professional tennis in Switzerland is very expensive, a way too expensive, unfortunately.
So how do you convince them?
Yeah, like we have to talk a lot with them, and we have to explain them that they have a real chance to go to the top 100 and make their living with tennis. So it's like a process. You don't convince them in 1 month or 1 week. It's like we work together for 2-3 years, and when they are 18, 17 years old and they finish school, we try to convince them and their parents to play tennis professionally. And it's not a lifetime project. You can try 3, 4, 5 years, and then if it doesn't work, you can go back to school. You don't lose anything in Switzerland. You have a lot of possibilities with schooling, homeschooling. So I think it's getting better and better. We have a lot of Swiss Olympic schools that allow players to combine sport and school a bit better than it was years ago.
Some people say that Switzerland is too comfortable. Life is too good in Switzerland. And compared with some countries, for example, the former Yugoslavian countries, where succeeding as an athlete really is one of the few ways out of, I mean, not poverty, but to get really rich. In Switzerland, you can make a decent living if you don't become a professional athlete. What do you think of that argument?
That's absolutely true. I mean, in Serbia, for example, there is not a working federation. They have no really big tournaments. They don't have small tournaments. They don't have a ranking system. They don't have a national center. But it's like hungry people. They're giving all, and sport is like the only way to make it, like to be famous and to earn money. And in Switzerland, it's very comfortable. We are living in one of the best nations all over the world, and we are very spoiled. And so our players are spoiled too. And I think that's a big advantage of Eastern countries.
How much can the Swiss Tennis Federation do? How much is it down to you, and how much is it down to the individual player?
If you have a young player and he's a good athlete and he likes and loves playing tennis, and you give him good coaches, good balls and a good infrastructure, and if he's patient and you invest a lot of money and you travel a lot, so it is possible to bring a good player, this kind of player, into the top 200 or top 300 maybe. But to put a player into the top 10 or make him a big champion like Roger or Stan, that's pretty impossible, because stars are born. Like, it's completely different.
I don't know if you've got a son or a daughter, but if they came to you and said, you know, Dad, I'm thinking of a career as a professional tennis player, what would you say to them?
Yeah, if they want to make money and be very famous quickly, and they are talented, like I would tell them to play ice hockey or like in Switzerland or soccer. I think it's easier to get at the top. Tennis is a very tough sport. It's like an individual sport. You have to invest a lot of money. It's like a family project. If you are injured, you don't get any money. Like in soccer, you are in the team. If you are injured, you get your salary at the end of the month. So I think tennis is very tough, but it's a fantastic sport, because you are your own boss. You are an entrepreneur. You have to be very hard with your daily schedule, and you travel a lot. You learn a lot of languages. I think it's a perfect sport.
As Greco said, tennis at the lower levels really is tough. In a sobering report, the International Tennis Federation revealed that in 2014, only 336 men and 253 women made a profit playing tennis. In addition, highlighting the inequality in the modern game, the top 1% of ranked male players earn 60% of the total prize money. Antoine Bellier from Geneva is the highest ranked male Swiss tennis player aged 21 or under. A talented sportsman, Bellier chose tennis over football when he was 14 and turned professional when he was 18. Now 19, by the beginning of August, he had climbed to a world ranking of 540. Earlier in the year, I went along to the leafy country club Geneva to speak to Bellier between training sessions. When he's not training, he's travelling. He plays around 30 tournaments a year, with each lasting on average 1 week. I started off by asking him whether, like some young players, he has to couch surf around the world because the prize money in the lower tournaments doesn't cover travel and hotel expenses.
I have some sponsor who helped me in my career, so it's fine.
How difficult is it finding sponsors?
With my parents, I made like a file, and then after I send to the firm, and then after we will see, but yeah. In start, you have to make some good results, and then after, some sponsor go to you and ask you if you want, we can help you.
What are your professional targets and ambitions? Okay, to win Wimbledon, to win a Grand Slam, sure. Yeah. But realistically, how does it work? At the moment, you are ranked 630.
Yeah.
Does it work? You have ambitions step by step. So you say, okay, next year, I want to be in the top 100. The year after that, the top 50, and so on. How do you plan realistically your ambitions?
I cannot say, like, in 1 year I want to be in the best 100. But now, at my age, I think it's important to improve my game, every shot, and keep going to work hard, and then after we will see where I will be. But not my dream, but my biggest purpose is, I think, to be in the best 30 or best 20 in the world. But I cannot say that in 1 year I want to be 100.
Have you sort of thought about, if you're playing and playing, you're not above the top 100, for example, would you ever say, right, that's enough, I've tried it, it's not working, and leave?
If I'm 26 and I'm still like 400, I think I will stop here.
Let's be optimistic and assume that you make the top 10 and you have a wonderful career. Do you have any idea what you will do after that? How far ahead, you know, when you're 35, when you're 40? You haven't looked that far ahead.
We will see. Maybe if I will in the best 10 in the world and I have a lot of money, maybe I will open a good restaurant here in Geneva.
We'll keep an eye on Bellier, both as a tennis player and a restaurateur, but he has a challenging path ahead of him. His coach, Sani Kayombo, a former tennis pro from France, explained what's needed to break into the upper echelons.
The best quality that a young player must have in order to be a top 100 player, the motivation. Loving the games is very important. You have to believe in yourself as well. You have to be a hard worker, you know, because all the guys out there are very good. They're physically very strong.
What are the main reasons that a talented young player doesn't succeed later?
Sometimes I would say, you know, you could be a good junior and, you know, sponsors, all the media, all the people looking at you like you are the upcoming star, you know, and sometimes it could give you a lot of pressure, and sometimes you could maybe become a bit cocky. On the other hand, sometimes, you know, I would say middle-level junior manage to be great tennis players. So, you know, you have to be humble, you have to be a hard worker, you have to believe, and never think that everything has to be taken for granted. Always try to push a limit further every day and never look back, you know. You have to look forward, upper, further, you know, to achieve your goal, because it's a long, long, long path to get to the top, you know.
What are Antoine's strengths and weaknesses?
He's got a lot of weapons. I would say his forehand is very natural. He's very aggressive. I mean, he's tall, but as a tall player, his serve is not as good as he could be. So this is one of the work he has to achieve to become very good.
How far do you think he can go?
To me, he's got all the quality to become a good player. It's hard to say if he's going to be top 100, top 50. But what I know is he's been improving every day, every month, every year. I've been training him for now 7 years. So I would say top 100 is something reachable for him, maybe better. But, you know, the other players, really, and I really mean what I'm going to say, they're very good.
Other Swiss players?
The other players, they're very good. And to me, it's just a matter of time. If we make this interview in a year, I'm sure there will be more than only Antoine in the top 600 player in the world.
There doesn't seem to have been much of a Federer effect. Whereas in Serbia, Djokovic really does seem to have kick-started a wave of young players after him. Why was there no Federer effect?
You're right, the Federer effect could have been bigger. But, you know, here at the club, at the ground level, there's a lot of young players, you know, starting to play tennis every day because of Roger Federer. And I definitely think it's just a matter of time before you know, some other young player breakthrough. But once again, you know, Stan and Roger, what they have achieved is something wow.
Sani Kayombo, coach of up-and-coming Swiss tennis player Antoine Bellier, who at the beginning of August was in fact the only young Swiss male player in the top 800 in the world. So how did Switzerland produce Roger Federer and Stan Wawrinka? The answer seems to be that it just did. It got lucky. As Alessandro Greco at Swiss Tennis said, stars are born.
I'm very happy with what is happening. Tennis is very popular in Switzerland, but of course, if we want to produce another Roger Federer, another Stan, we will be very disappointed in the future.
Alessandro Greco talking to Swiss Info journalist Thomas Stevens.
For a detailed data-led breakdown of young tennis players around the world, go to swissinfo.ch and search for Who Will Follow Federer and Wawrinka? Thanks for listening, and thanks this week to studio technician Jakob Stoller.